BSM presents The Tim Weisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Weisberg Show.
Welcome back in third and final hour of the program here on Friday morning. And we've been talking about a variety of different topics this morning. The TikTok ban, which is supposed to go into effect on Sunday and probably won't go into effect because the Biden administration is punting it to the Trump administration, but saying that they won't enforce it on the last day of their administration. And then Trump is saying, you know, he's considering an executive order postponing the ban. And even if it does go into effect, the app's not going to disappear from your device. It's just going to be taken down from the app store. So eventually you won't be able to update it anymore. But, you know, TikTok can find ways around that. So it'll be interesting to see how that all shakes out. But I was talking before about how there's been a lot of businesses and people who have become reliant on it as a platform to be able to generate revenue. There's people who are influencers who make money from it. Of course, and, you know, they're probably concerned. But there's also businesses that use that as their main marketing tool. You know, think of the coffee shops that just have a TikTok live going all day long. And people come in and they're like, I saw you on TikTok. And that's getting them customers. But as I was saying earlier, you know, you should definitely have a web presence. There's so many businesses that think, oh, well, I've got a Facebook page. That's enough. But it's not enough. First of all, Facebook has its problems, but also Facebook controls who sees your page. Facebook controls who knows that you're on Facebook. And they can change those rules arbitrarily based on what they want to do. So if they want to say to you all of a sudden one day, yeah, we know that you've got a business page, but you know, we want you to pay for that. So if you don't pay for it, you can still have the page, but people are only going to see it if you tell them to go to it. We're not going to let other people share it, or, you know, like, they can come up with all these different rules because it's their own business. Whereas with having a website, yeah, you're beholden to Google and all of that for their algorithm, but we work here every day with those companies to make sure that your search engine optimization is the best it can be. So if you want to get your website done, reach out to me, Tim at WBSM.com. I'll set you up with Michael Nelson in our Town Square Interactive department, and he will be able to help you get a beautiful site made that will be updated when you need it and that will guarantee you get to the top of the Google search rankings. But that's, you know, a different story. Getting back to the idea of the ban, I've got a feeling it's much ado about nothing. And when we get to Monday, things are going to be no different. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. We were also talking in the last hour about the Fairhaven shed controversy, the shed that's being built at the high school, the storage facility, because some neighbors don't like it. So they've got the project on hold. And now you've got an unfinished shed just sitting there. That could have been trouble. That little tongue twister there could have been trouble if I let it get out the wrong way. But now you've got it sitting there, and it's incomplete, unfinished. And we've got a lot of people pushing back on the wants of the few shouldn't overcome the needs of the many. And then the question that I was asking today, based on the whole TikTok controversy, because as I'm seeing people who thought that they were stuck on it, thinking that they needed it for business purposes, revenue generation, whatever it is, are learning that there's other ways. I'm asking the question today, what's one thing you thought you could never live without, but now you've learned that you could? And the example I used for myself was Coca-Cola. So that question is out there. You can call in with that. You can also answer it on our Facebook page. But you can call in 508-996-0500. And let's take a phone call right now. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
WBSM is something I cannot live without.
Well, I'm glad that that's the case.
Morning. How you doing, bud?
Good. How are you?
Not bad. The reason you were kind of talking about business, and it made me actually think of something a little bit off topic, but it's in the business realm. I know there's a lot of progressives that also listen to your show. Well, listen to WBSM in general, but don't call in. But what I want to ask is, they use Massachusetts as a beacon or an example of economic health and prosperity. You know, look at us. You know, we're a very progressive state, and look how well we do in education, business-wise, across the board. They point to us as an example, right, for the rest of the country to follow. And I look at our tax structure, and it's a flat tax. But yet, on the national level, progressives say we need a progressive tax income bracket in order to make sure the most wealthy pay their fair share. But yet, here in Massachusetts, one of the most progressive states in the country, we have a flat tax, and we're very prosperous. We're leading the country economically. We have a very diverse economy, from biotech to energy production on, you know, obviously certain levels, not oil or anything, but solar production, all that stuff. So it seems to me that it flies in the face of what they're trying to do on a national level. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think that what you see here, for first of all, I think a lot of it is, hype. A lot of it is championing and rah-rahing. And if you look at it, is it really that much better than it is in other places? I know statistically you can look at it that way, but I also don't think that the gap is as far between in some things as it is in other places. So it might not be the only way, but it's a way that definitely seems to work. And the biggest complaint that I have about it, though, or the biggest concern that I have about kind of using Massachusetts as a model, is look at how many people are in Massachusetts that don't want to believe that all that information that you just shared, because the way that things affect them, or the way that they see, you know, the way the priorities are set, creates a lot of negative blowback. And that's not a model that I think could work on a national level, because you would just create way too many disgruntled, like, this might just be my own bias from living here, but it seems like we probably have a higher amount of disgruntled people with the way things are run than you have on a national level. And I'm talking about, you know, the way things are run in your own community, not looking at a national political scale.
Right. And you know what? Honestly, I think that is the case in many states. A lot of states have a lot of, they complain a lot about their local officials. I think, and that's actually a good thing, because a lot of their things that affect them on an everyday level, they see it every day. You know, the potholes, the bad traffic, the mm-hmm. congestion, all that. And then on top of it, your building permits, all that stuff affects you on your everyday level. But yeah, on the national level, you don't really see what's really affecting you on a day-to-day basis. So I don't know. It was just something that I thought was interesting, because I looked at, like, other states that have a progressive income tax. I want to say it's either Louisiana or Mississippi. They actually have a progressive income tax. I mean, it's not to the scale of the federal level, but I think there's two or three brackets. It's significantly lower than, obviously, the federal level, but it's still progressive. So if you're somebody who earns a little bit more than the next person, you're in a higher income tax bracket in Mississippi. It's either Mississippi or Louisiana, one of the poorer states in the country. But yet the wealthiest state, one of the wealthier states, most educated states, we have a flat tax. And, you know, we're able to fund a whole plethora of different social programs and everything here. So I don't know. I think the argument that, you know, I hear Bernie Sanders say it in, you know, a lot of your progressive senators and representatives, Elizabeth Warren, they're all in for a progressive income tax. And the other thing that I actually was looking into is they're on this whole oligarchy, you know, on the national level. Bernie Sanders is pushing it, and the word oligarchy now is a buzzword in the media.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, they're talking about pushing up the minimum wage. You know, we have to separate minimum wage from humanity, right? We're not paying somebody for their humanity. We're paying somebody for what they add to the market, add to the economy. So using like a person's humanity, they're invaluable as a human. A human is invaluable, right? They're invaluable to their parents, to their friends, to their neighbors. But what you add to the economy is what you're being paid for. You know, pushing up the minimum wage for very, very basic skill level is not the way to go. And I understand when people say, well, a living wage, a living wage, now you're looking at the whole thing through a humanity standpoint versus an economic standpoint, which is that's where wages are based on.
I mean, you know, yeah, but yes and no, because you want those people to be able to have enough money to be able to afford to go out and pay rent, to be able to go out and shop, to be able to go out and pay taxes, to be able to purchase things that they have to pay more tax on. You know, if somebody only just pays income tax, that's not enough. They need to also, you know, pay excise tax on their vehicles. They also need to be able to, you know, pay sales tax on things that they buy. Like, you need people to be economic stimulators. And that's why you need them to be able to afford to live.
Right. So my argument is in regards to wages, right, and the minimum wage. Your labor is a commodity. I look at it this way. Very basic skill level is like a tree limb. And then as you add value to that tree limb, it becomes a table and you pay more for that. Right? So a skill level is your commodity. You pay more as you become more valuable. And the more valuable you are, the less availability of that skill is available, if you follow what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
So anybody can sweep a floor. In fact, you can get robots to sweep floors. So you're not going to be paid well because there is a significant amount of supply out there for that type of skill level at that labor level. You know, and I'm going to get into the weeds a little bit on that. Because, you know, you have a rocket scientist, they're going to get paid, you know, $100,000 an hour because there's only one person in the entire state that can do that. But anybody can sweep the floor. So we have to, I think when we're really talking and having the debate about wages and minimum wage, we have to be able to separate the humanity from the economics. Because, if for all things being equal, if we're going to pay for being a human, everybody should be paid an invaluable amount of money. But you can't, because it's about the skill and about the value you bring to the market and what people are willing to pay for.
I look at it from this perspective. If we have kind of somewhat universally agreed that a 40-hour a week work week is the, you know, the standard that people should be working. And I know some jobs require more or less than that, but let's just say that, you know, that's what we agreed to be the percentage of your time that you should spend working. Then the money that you make at that 40-hour a week job should be enough for you to be able to pay for all the basic necessities, all the basic needs. And if it's not enough, then you're getting shortchanged for what it is that you're bringing to the table, because you should be able to make enough money at that job to be able to only have to worry about that job. Because the minute I have to go work a second job, I'm now not giving my all to that first job anymore.
Right. I understand what you're saying, but what is the basic necessities? Do you need a cell phone?
Well, that's why
do
I think
you need cable. Like,
you would have a mathematical formula.
For me, a basic necessity is a roof over your head, food on the table, heat in your house, and cooling. That's it. That's all you need in life. Literally, that, because there are modes of transportation that you can use that doesn't charge you an excise tax, right? Get a bicycle. Use public transportation. There's other things that you can use. So your basic necessities are met. You don't have to buy, you know, the best meats available. You can't do that when you're living on the minimum wage. What you need to do is invest in yourself and increase your skill level so that you add more value to the market.
But I still think there needs to be a bottom line number of right. Of what we agree upon is otherwise what will happen is you'll have a bidding war for who's willing to do a job for the least amount of money.
But on the same side of that coin, if a business is not paying market rate and they're under the market rate, they won't get people to apply for that job. And those people, if you want that person, another business will say, well, I'll pay you $10 an hour and not the $7 an hour of that guy. So now that business has no labor and they go out of business. So now what you're doing is the market determines the wage.
I think the
businesses actually end up competing for you. And that happens at every level of professions, from the CEO down to the janitor. You can actually compete for labor as long as the labor market is tight, Tim. So if the labor market is tight and everybody is employed, the market will increase your wages. And then we can get into the more weeds. The more illegal immigrants you have here, the more free labor you have, and it drives down wages. So if you have a tight labor market, your wages will naturally go up according to the market.
Well, and the other concern I have, and then I have to take a break here, but you know, one of the concerns that I have is, and this is something that even exists in the structure that we have now, when somebody has years of experience, what is that experience worth? Because, you know, there's not a lot of different skills needed between me and somebody who just starts in this industry. So what is the worth? What is the value of me being here? Is it that the amount of time that I put in is worth money? Because you can hire somebody for half of what I make. Probably not. But, you know, you hire somebody for half of what I make and they can come in and do the same job. Why wouldn't you just be swapping people out? What is the reward for loyalty? You know, and that's one of the concerns that people have now with the job market is they're finding out, hey, we've got people that are 25 years old looking for jobs. We can replace those 50-year-olds and pay them half as much money.
You're 100% right on that. And that's just the way the market is. But, in your case, I mean, you have your connections. You can have people trust you. The value you create is the trust that you project from your show. Because you have a particular show, people trust your insight and the value that you bring to them on the radio is more than some new guy. If I was to go and take over your show, they don't trust my opinion. They don't know. I haven't built that trust. You have trust that's been built over the years. So that's the value that you bring.
Yeah, I never really look at it from that perspective. Like I look at the show as like such a small percentage of what I actually do that that doesn't even enter into my mind. I'm thinking more about the technical side of things of what I do and, you know, the writing, the editing, the programming, things like that. Yeah, I don't even think about the performance aspect of it, I guess you'd call it.
It is a performance, Tim. It is a very good performance.
It's all performance because I'm really just an AI generated robot.
You know what? I've met you. That's true.
See? There you go. All right. I'm going to hold you there. You have a great weekend.
You too, bud. Later.
And just remember, too, that the first AI robot radio host happened, you know, 40 years ago. They had Carlos the Computer on WBCN, which was really just, you know, human beings programming it into a voice synthesizer program. But still. They could replace me with Carlos any day. Carlos the Computer. Not Carlos Felix. Don't get any ideas, Carlos. I know right now your ears perked up. I'm talking about Carlos the Computer. Carlos with a K. All right, I got to take a break. We'll be back in a few moments. All right, we're going to go into the newsroom in just a moment. But before we do that, I want to let you know that today at Stevie's Wine and Spirits here in Fairhaven, 115 Huddleston Avenue, they're going to have a wine tasting event. So it'll be happening today from 4 to 6 p.m. You can try a couple of different types of wines and see what you think. And, of course, anytime you go to Stevie's Wine and Spirits, when you see a purple dot on the shelf next to an item that you're interested in, you can try that before you buy it. So stop on by Stevie's Wine and Spirits today from 4 to 6 to try some of the wines they'll be sampling. And also stop by Stevie's Wine and Spirits anytime to try anything with the purple dot. And whatever you're looking for, they probably have it. And they probably have things you've never heard of either. So stop in and peruse the shelves, see what they have, talk with them, because if they don't have something you're looking for, they can probably order it for you. And also, don't forget, if you are a fan of whiskey and bourbon, join the Rackhouse Club. You'll not only save 10% on all of your whiskey and bourbon purchases, but you get that special bottle every month. And I've heard it's a good one this month, but I haven't gotten over there yet to pick it up. Every time I leave here, I've been leaving so late, I got to get right home for something. But maybe today I'll get whatever's in that bag and enjoy that while I have my David Lynch marathon this weekend in honor of his passing. And don't forget, too, that Stevie's Wine and Spirits is also the proud sponsor of all of Tim's tickets giveaways here on the show. And we have your last half hour or so to enter to win those Sarah Silverman tickets at WBSM.com and on the app. But right now, we've got to go into the newsroom, get all the top stories of the day from Phil Devitt.
A ceasefire deal reached in Gaza. New labels possible on alcohol sold in the United States. And a visionary director is warmly remembered.
From the WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu announced today that a deal has been reached to pause fighting in Gaza and secure the release of hostages. The agreement, which is set to free dozens of hostages in exchange for Palestinian prisoners, will also allow displaced Palestinians to return to their homes. But tensions within Netanyahu's government continue, with hardline ministers like Itamar Ben-Gvir threatening to quit over the ceasefire deal. The agreement comes after Israeli airstrikes killed at least 72 people in Gaza Thursday, while negotiations with Hamas had reportedly stalled over last-minute demands. Despite internal challenges, Netanyahu set to convene his cabinet to finalize the deal later today. On his first day back in office, Donald Trump has promised a series of bold actions, including launching the largest deportation effort in U.S. history and closing the border to illegal immigration. Trump has also vowed to end birthright citizenship through an executive order, though it remains unclear whether he can achieve that without a constitutional amendment. Additionally, he plans to impose hefty tariffs on imports from Mexico, Canada, and China, aiming to reshape trade dynamics and reduce illegal crossings. While many of the promises face significant legal and political hurdles, Trump's day one agenda sets the stage for an aggressive push on immigration, trade, and energy policy. The U.S. Treasury Department has proposed new rules requiring labels on wine, spirits, and malt beverages to include alcohol content, nutritional information, and allergen warnings. The Alcohol and Tobacco Tax and Trade Bureau is seeking public input on the proposals, which would add an alcohol facts box similar to food nutrition labels. Additionally, labels would need to list common allergens like milk, eggs, and peanuts. While companies have been allowed to voluntarily include this information, advocates say mandatory labels are necessary for consumer safety. Public comments will be accepted through April 16th, with rules set to take effect in 5 years. In a high-profile legal battle, actor and director Justin Baldoni is suing his co-star Blake Lively and her husband Ryan Reynolds for defamation and extortion over their involvement in the film It Ends With Us. Baldoni, along with his production company Wayfarer Studios, is seeking at least $400 million in damages, alleging that Lively and Reynolds manipulated the film's marketing and spread false claims of harassment against him. The lawsuit follows Lively's own legal action, accusing Baldoni and others of retaliating against her for reporting harassment. Baldoni denies the allegations, stating that Lively's claims are false and that he made efforts to ensure her comfort on set. The ongoing feud has escalated tensions in Hollywood, drawing attention to treatment on film sets. And David Lynch, the visionary director known for his surreal dark films like Blue Velvet, Mulholland Drive, and the groundbreaking TV series Twin Peaks, has passed away at 78. Lynch, who was diagnosed with emphysema in 2024, reshaped American cinema with his unique, often disturbing storytelling. His works blended horror, noir, and surrealism, creating some of the most iconic and puzzling narratives in modern film and TV. His contributions were recognized with a Lifetime Achievement Oscar in 2020. His family announced his death, quoting Lynch's own words, quote, "Keep your eye on the donut and not on the hole."
WBSM Sports.
Celtics home at TD Garden tonight to play the Orlando Magic. Game starts at 7. Bruins and Ottawa Senators in Canada Saturday at 3.
Now, your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
Mostly sunny on the South Coast today, a high of 37 degrees. Partly cloudy on Saturday, increasing clouds with early evening rain possible, a high of 45. On Sunday, morning sun followed by afternoon clouds and possible snow overnight into Monday, a high of 42 degrees. This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy, only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven. I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's news talk station, WBSM, and get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
All right, let's check in now with Eric over at the Butcher Shop, 123 Dartmouth Street in New Bedford. Good morning, sir. How are you doing today?
Hey, what's going on, Tim? How you doing, brother?
It's all right. It's a cold day outside today. I'm sure you got some nice warm stuff cooking up inside.
Oh, we do. Got a lot of stuff. Friday fish day. You know how that goes.
Yeah.
Well, sardines, mackerels. We got nice fillets, everything.
And what's probably your favorite type of fish?
Oh, honestly, you know what I like? I like salmon.
Yeah,
like
me salmon. Too. Yeah, I love salmon.
I actually got nice salmon just came in from North Atlantic. $7.99 a pound. Good price.
Yeah, that's really good. And the thing that people don't realize is that, you know, a lot of times when you've gone out to restaurants and you've had like this meal, when it comes to something that's made with salmon, a lot of that stuff is really easy to replicate at home. You can make it yourself.
Oh, of course you can, bro. Everything's easy to make.
So what else you got over there today?
Like I said, I got tomahawks, I got nice ribeyes, I got nice fillets. I got nice chicken breasts, chicken wings, whole chickens. I got flank. I got nice short ribs. I got beef ribs, like the long strips, you know, the big rack of ribs.
Yeah.
I got one of the, today I got that, man. I got briskets. I got flank. I got, brother, I'm looking, I got everything, man. What else? I got smoked shoulders. I got Buddha ball hams. I got everything.
So those beef ribs, those are like the ones that Fred Flintstone put on the side of the car, right? Those really big ones.
No, that's the tomahawks, like the Fred Flintstone's a tomahawk.
That's true. The tomahawk looks like those brontosaurus steaks that Fred used to eat. So yeah. one of the things people love this time of year, you mentioned short ribs. People love putting that in things like macaroni and cheese and all that comfort food that they make when it's cold out. That's like a perfect cold weather food, I think.
Yeah, man, it warms up the house nice. You know what I mean? That kale soup, I got nice kale soup, too. Yeah, stuff like that, yeah, you're right, man. It warms up your house. It makes everybody feel comfortable. Everybody gets a little fat, gets some insulation in there, and that's it.
Yeah, there you go. It's going to be that kind of weekend. It's going to be a little chilly. We've got some snow coming on Sunday. You get down to the butcher shop and get yourself some of that comfort food that'll not only warm up your belly, but warm up the house as well.
Yeah, I got booze, too, brother. They can come drink.
I was just going to say, too, there's another way you can warm yourself up, too. That's by going downstairs and getting some of the beer and wine.
Yeah.
All right. Well, hopefully everybody will come on by and get something good at the Butcher Shop, 123 Dartmouth Street in New Bedford. Thanks, Eric, and we'll talk to you next week.
Don't forget about the French meat pies. Got nice ones.
Yeah, right. And not only that, but when you go there to get the French meat pie, there's no calories in those French meat pies, right? I promise. No
nothing,
carbs,
none,
no calories.
No, not fattening at all. It's fat-free French meat pies.
All right. You have a good one.
I'll talk to you.
All right. That is Eric over at the Butcher Shop, 123 Dartmouth Street in New Bedford. Of course, we're kidding. But it is really the that traditional French meat pie that you remember that you haven't had in years. Go get yourself one. Man, I every once in a while, I have French meat pie, but when I was younger, I was spoiled working in a diner and being able to have that on a somewhat regular basis. I wouldn't really make it very often, but if I happened to be working on the day that they were cooking up the batch of French meat pies and one came right out of the oven, I'd say, all right, give me a slice of that. Give me a slice of that. And my grandmother would come down from Randolph to Wareham on the days that we had made it fresh because she lived up in Randolph. You didn't get French meat pie up there. So anyway, yeah, check out the Butcher Shop, 123 Dartmouth Street in New Bedford. So we've been talking about a bunch of different topics this morning, and we can certainly continue on with the discussion about the question that I asked, which was, what is one thing you never thought what is one thing you've recently learned you could live without that you never thought you could? Because there's people who are convinced that they couldn't survive without TikTok because they utilize it as for business purposes. You know, I'm not talking about the people who just watch it for entertainment or make videos for fun, or I'm not talking about those folks. I'm talking about the folks who have actually used it as part of their business model. People who have actually built their business around being able to offer those videos, whether it be people who are influencers. And I've never understood why somebody becomes an influencer and says, I'm all in on this. I don't need another income stream because this is what I'm going to do from now on. It's the flashy allure of considering yourself a celebrity. I don't have to work anymore. I'm famous. But when you do that, you're also beholden to that platform and whatever changes might happen on that platform. And it's iffy. It reminds me of people that I know that got TV shows in the paranormal world, and they get, you know, they sign this deal to be on a television show, and they're going to go out and produce 6 or 8 episodes. And these people quit their jobs to be able to go film for 4 or 5 weeks and then come back. Their show airs on television, doesn't get picked up for another season. They're just sitting around waiting for a renewal because they don't have a job now, and then they never get renewed. So now you've got to go get another job. Like, that's why I've always said when I've had the opportunity, there's been times that they've scouted me for shows, and I've said, yeah, if I got to leave for many weeks at a time, I'm probably not the person that you want because I'm not quitting my job for this. I have a job that I love. I'm not quitting that to go be on TV, knowing that it's a fickle thing. Now, if you want to, you know, if it's something that's filmed around here or something I can still work a regular day job and do, then I'll do that. But I've seen it happen where people quit their jobs, go do 6 or 8 episodes of a TV show and think that that's going to be their future. And now they're stuck coming back and getting a job. And if you have enough of an ego that you think, you know, being an influencer or being on a television show or whatever makes you a celebrity, makes you famous, well, then it's a real, real punch in the stomach when you come back and the only job you can get is waiting on tables or, you know, bagging groceries or something. Because now you're going to get people that recognize you and you're like, oh, really? You work here? Surprise. I thought you were famous. So that's why I don't recommend ever putting all your eggs into that kind of a basket. But people have. And so now the folks who did that are starting to realize, like, there are other ways that they can keep going beyond TikTok. But that sparked the idea of, we've all kind of encountered something like that where we thought we could never stop doing something or stop taking something or stop eating or drinking something. And then we do and we realize, oh, yeah, it's not that different. For myself, I use the example of, you know, I stopped drinking Coke. Other people might say, I quit smoking. I never thought that I could. My friend who told me yesterday, I quit smoking weed when I never thought that I could. People who have gotten over things like agoraphobia when they never thought that they could. Or claustrophobia. So 508-996-0500, or I can take app chat messages if you want to send those in. But we were talking about that. We were also talking about this Fairhaven shed controversy over at the high school. You can read more about that on the WBSM app. But I think that is one of those cases of, you've got the wants of the few trying to outweigh the needs of the many. The school needed that storage space. They needed bathrooms, but they couldn't get the bathrooms made with the budget they had. So they came up with this alternate plan of putting bathrooms behind the concession stand instead and utilizing this new building as storage for athletic equipment and other things. And they farmed out that work to Greater New Bedford Voc Tech. And they're thinking to themselves, well, we just saved the town a bunch of money. Everybody's going to be so happy with us. And instead, they've got a few neighbors that have halted this project. And for what reason? The reasons that they're putting out there, others are combating and saying that's not the case. One of them being, well, it's hard to pull out under Route 6 from the school now because you can't see. When you get people that are saying, I do it every day, it's not that much different. So this is just a matter of, somebody doesn't like a new structure being in the way of their view of the gorgeous high school, and so they're going to complain about it. But now it's held up that work, and you've got an unfinished structure just sitting there. 508-996-0500. We will be back in a few moments. Stay tuned. When that song came out and saying to my grandmother, hey, Grandma, you know how you love to watch that show Perry Mason? Have I got the song for you? And she didn't really like it all that much. I was kind of surprised. Gee, Grandma, I thought you'd be into Ozzy Osbourne. Anyway, 508-996-0500 if you want to call in the final few moments of the program here as we've been talking about some different topics. We got some app chat messages from Working Fool regarding Ray's call earlier about the minimum wage, and he says those people that earn minimum wage are on government assistance when the work for corporations that earn billions of dollars a year, that is corporate socialism. This last caller has no idea how economics work, talking about that call. And if you look in history, since the federal minimum wage, every time the Republicans have control, the wage is stagnant if the minimum wage increases at the same rate. As CEOs, it would be about $28 an hour. So, yeah, Ray called earlier and had the idea of, he was not for the idea of having a minimum wage. And my pushback was, if you don't have a required minimum, how are people going to be able to live and give themselves to that job? But that's, something we can get into at another time when we don't have limited time left in the program. This morning, we talked a little bit about the passing of David Lynch. Very influential filmmaker. And as I was saying this morning, David Lynch, not for everybody. Some people get it, some people don't. And if you get it, you think he's a genius. If you don't get it, you're like, what is this weird thing that I'm watching? And if you are interested, is what happens is when celebrities die, when people of note die, a lot of folks will look into their catalog and say, well, I've never really watched a David Lynch movie. Let me watch one. Like, for example, when all the controversy was happening with Woody Allen, I said, I've never really watched a Woody Allen movie. Let me watch one. And I did. And I was like, yeah, I'm not really a fan. So other people might say the same about David Lynch. They might want to get into something, give something a try and see what it's all about. But I would tell you it's a difficult world to just jump right into. And the temptation is going to be, well, I'm going to start with Elephant Man because that was Eraserhead, because that was his first movie. Maybe not. That's really weird. Maybe start with Elephant Man, because that was kind of his first commercial release, like big commercial film. Or maybe his version of Dune. Or maybe the best way is probably just to get started with Twin Peaks. Don't start with Mulholland Drive. Don't start with Lost Highway. Don't start with Twin Peaks, The Return. Like, that's when we're getting really, really out there. But in my opinion, one of the greatest filmmakers that ever lived and one of the greatest just artistic visions overall. And I could listen to him talk, just listen to him talk about anything. My favorite was when he started doing the weather reports. During the pandemic, he would sit in his office and record a YouTube video every day where he would give the weather. And it was literally just him giving the weather in LA that day. And he'd just come on and he'd be like, today it's going to be 46 degrees. Well, not 46. That's a low temperature there. 74 degrees with beautiful skies, beautiful blue skies, and bright, abundant sunshine. And then he'd always end it every time. Everyone, have a great day. And, I just looked forward to watching those videos every day. I would wait to get that alert. YouTube, David Lynch uploaded a new video. All right, there we go. And that made my day, just watching that every day. He was also the voice of the bartender on the Cleveland show, that spinoff they had a Family Guy. I got to take the final break. We'll be right back. 508-996-0500 if we can squeeze in a call. And before I get out of here, I got to let you know, if you are looking for some extra work, if you're looking for some extra income, maybe you're a retiree, maybe you're a stay-at-home parent, Tremblay Bus Company is hiring bus drivers, monitors, and van drivers. You don't even need a CDL. They're willing to train you if you're willing to learn. So if you'd like to find out more, just go to tbcbus.com. That's TBC Bus, Tremblay Bus Company, tbcbus.com. Let's finish off with a quick phone call. I got about a minute. Good morning.
Good morning. Nope, I just wanted to call and tell you have a great weekend. Everybody have a steady rule of a weekend. And the one thing that I had to obsess over is hummus. I had to give it up.
You gave up hummus. Why?
Because I literally would eat it every day for weeks on end and until it made me sick.
Oh, yeah. You don't want to get sick off of something. But as long as you don't have gout and, you know, the chickpeas fire up your gout like it used to do for me, hummus is a fine thing to eat.
Oh, no. No, I've never, never had that happen. It was just bad. I was just so addicted to it. So it was, that's the only thing for me anyways.
All right. Well, I hope you still treat yourself to it every now and then.
Oh, yeah. That was my only big thing. Everything else that I want, I do in, you know, moderation.
There you go. That's the secret. All right. Well, you have a great weekend.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
And, yeah, that was the question I asked on the WBSM Facebook page this morning. You can